Stashing pollution deep underground.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Allianz, providing travel insurance and assistance to over 9 million Americans through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. The EPA is set to unveil tougher rules for new coal and natural gas plants today. Coal plants kick out a lot of CO2 pollution. The new rules mean they may have to try burying it. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports from our sustainability desk.
That pollution? It's carbon dioxide. And every year, coal plants in this country send well over a billion tons of it into the skies. The EPA's new emissions limits could be so strict that they force future coal plants to use a technology that aims that CO2 in the opposite direction. Environmental attorney Thomas Lorenzen.
Rather than letting it go up the stack and into the air, capturing it, putting it under high pressure, and then injecting it into the ground.
In the ground, where it can't fuel global warming. Lisa Camuso-Miller at the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity says it sounds great. There's just one little problem.
At this time, it is still not a technology that is in full deployment on a commercial scale.
An emerging technology, says scientist Niraj Gupta, which is really two technologies, separating out the carbon and then storing it.
They haven't been done in enough places at enough of a large scale for everyone to have the confidence in long-term performance.
Not to mention its colossal price tag. But polluters and the EPA have starred in this movie before. It's called Forced Technology, where the government gets ahead of the marketplace. Come to think of it, says MIT's Howard Herzog, sort of like the technology that cleaned up acid rain.
And at that time, it's the same thing. Those scrubbers, they were sort of proven in some demonstrations, but they were not widely commercial. But they adopted them, and we now have the fairly standard technologies.
Thomas Lorenzen says the feds have also had luck forcing new fuel-saving technologies on the auto industry, despite initial protests. But that, he believes, was riskier than mandating carbon capture. He says there's little downside to selecting something that is truly at the edges of coal technology.
Because no one is building coal-fired plants anyway.
At least as long as natural gas stays in favor. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading, not doing too much, kind of flat in Europe. Asian stocks closed mixed, with India sagging after its central bank boosted interest rates. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P was down 0.2%. The Dow dropped 0.25% to close at 15,636. As of this week, Priceline is the first S&P 500 company to trade above $1,000 a share. So far, there's no sign the online travel site will split its stock to make it more affordable. Shannon Mullen reports on why many other companies with pricey shares aren't into that idea either.
Think back to before the recession. In 2007, there were 41 stock splits on the S&P. So far this year, there have been 10.
So clearly, it has become less popular.
Thomas Chimenor teaches finance at Boston College.
From the fundamentals point of view, operating performance, earnings and so on, there is really no effect of stock splits.
That's because the total value of the stock stays the same. Split shares are more affordable for the average Joe, but what if fewer Joes are buying? Richard Peterson is a director with S&P Capital IQ.
More and more retail investors are gravitating towards mutual funds or exchange-traded funds as their vehicle choice for exposure to equities rather than buying individual shares.
Plus, a record number of shares on the S&P are trading above $100, including MasterCard, which has never split its stock, and Apple, whose last split was before the recession. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping professionals and businesses look their best when people search for them online. Learn more at 1-800-REPUTATION. And by Kronos, providing cloud-based time and attendance, scheduling, HR, and payroll solutions for organizations of all sizes. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Personal finance reporting on Marketplace is supported by Ally Bank, offering around-the-clock customer service from highly trained representatives who listen to their customers. You can learn more about Ally at allybank.com.
A new report from London think tank Chatham House says 100,000 barrels a day are stolen from Nigerian oil pipelines at a cost of billions of dollars a year. Joining us to talk about the impact of that is Razia Khan, Africa analyst at Standard Chartered Bank. She's with us from London. Hello, Razia.
Hi.
So some may have the perception of small-time criminals tapping into pipelines, but these are actually complex criminal networks. Explain what actually happens to this oil.
What we do know is that there are official sources of oil measured, the exports are measured, and it's thought that there's a great deal of oil that simply goes missing and somehow finds its way onto the global market. Now, a range of different operators are thought to be involved. The suggestion is that we are talking about amazingly organized networks who are able to be more successful in terms of lifting the oil, shipping it out. Sometimes there's some element of confusion about what is legal oil. It's very difficult to distinguish, and that is sold on the world market.
And what is being done and what can ultimately be done about this problem?
House report outlines a number of suggestions, follow-up action that could be taken. The key one would be to see greater resolve on the part of the authorities, especially in Nigeria, to tackle this problem. It's long been thought that given the scale of the oil theft, piecemeal measures are not going to work. There needs to be incredibly strong resolve, and this needs to be tackled at all points in the chain where the opportunities for illegal oil theft are made possible.
All right, Razia Khan at Standard Chartered. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And finally, a man in Spain did something surprising after finding a winning lotto ticket worth $6.3 million. He turned it in because it wasn't his. A search for the original owner is underway, which could take years. If nobody claims it, the finder will get the money after all. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's been 500 years since the Protestant Reformation. Now, what, you may ask, does that have to do with the Eurozone reformation?
The German word for debt is also the same word as a moral failure. So the connotation is quite clear. If you have a high debt burden, you have morally failed.
I'm Kai Rizdal. More from Germany before their elections this weekend. It's next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.